What have we been talking about? Somebody's pointing at their bandana. I don't remember saying anything about a bandana. Yes, we've been talking about our minds, haven't we? And I would say that most of us have a pretty decent life, wouldn't you? You know, we have a pretty decent life. God's taken good care of us. We live in America. We live in a free country. And he's done some pretty amazing things in most of our lives. And yet, we still have this thing where we complain. Isn't that funny? We do. And our mind is constantly a battlefield. And it's constantly at war with what? With ourselves, for the most part. And the enemy likes to throw stuff in there too. But we have this amazing brain that God has put in this body. So what do we know about winning the war in our mind? We know that most of life's battles are won and lost where? Right here, right there between the ears. And we know it's almost impossible to have a positive life when all you think is negative thoughts. Just saying. And it's easy for us to have those negative thoughts, have some of those irrational thoughts, because we are human, right? Anybody here a cyborg? Okay, I'm just making sure. Okay? Good. But, you know, if you're like me, there are things that you can let get to you. You know? My kids, my grandkids. Maybe it's for you guys, it's that test you're going to take. Oh, I see white there where there's somebody they don't like that test they have to take. Maybe it's what you're going to do next. Maybe you're worried about someone that you love. Maybe you're wondering if the bills will ever get paid. We all have those challenges and in our minds, and we worry. Now, I spoke with someone not too long ago, and she said to me, "No, I think I'm supposed to worry for God." I tried not to do what you just did, which was laugh in her face. But I said, "Well, perhaps you could show me where that's scriptural. Can you find that in the Bible?" And this person thought for a moment and changed the subject. Worry is one of those things that sometimes I think we don't put it on that level of sin. But it is. It is. So maybe you're trying to make some kind of a decision about the future. Maybe you're racing about, you know, what you're going to do tomorrow. Maybe you're wondering if you're going to eat potluck today. Maybe you're wondering. Maybe you're worrying. Maybe there's some anxiety and some fear. Well, we're going to start the message today with what Paul says. As he's sitting in prison, mind you, as he's sitting there getting ready to possibly be executed, he has some amazing advice about worry. And so when we look today at the mind, we're going to look at it in the area of worrying. Okay? So, we are going to go to Philippians 4. And we're going to start with verse 6. And it says this: "Don't worry about anything." Uh-oh. I already blew it this morning. Don't worry about anything. Instead, he says, pray about everything. He says, tell God what you need and thank him. See that? And thank him for all he has done. A couple of weeks ago, as I was praying for some things that were really heavy on my heart, God said, all of a sudden I read a scripture, I think I was in the Old Testament, and I read a scripture, and it was talking about thanking God for all the things that he's done. And as I began to think about all the things that God, you know, the Israelites were continually told to remember how they came out of Egypt, right? I'm going to let you know right now, I've had like 54 Egypts in my life. And as I began to go through this and I began to, you know what happens when you begin to thank God for all that he's done? You realize he is a really good God. And you go, why am I worrying about this? Let's go on. Then it says you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. I think it's pretty amazing that God's peace exceeds anything that we can understand. And I don't know how to explain it other than sometimes, you know, I've said, well, you know, I just have a peace about it. Well, you shouldn't. I've had people tell me, well, you should really be concerned about that. Well, yes, I am. That's why I took it to God in prayer. But he has given me a peace. And so it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand, and his peace will guard our hearts and our, what's it say? Minds. You see, because these things get us in trouble a lot more than we think. And it says that he will guard our hearts and our minds as we, what's it say? Live in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to do this and say this. And he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Paul says that a lot. Have you noticed that? He goes, oh, one more thing. In fact, you may find one more thing in several books. I mean, in the same book. One more thing. He says, I want you to do one more thing. He says, fix your thoughts. Say that. Fix your thoughts. Do it again. And where are our thoughts? See, so much of what God wants to do in us has got to start in our mind. Faith has to start in our mind. Just saying. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. That's pretty cool. And then he says this. He says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you have heard from me and saw me doing. All right? So Paul is saying, be a copycat about the good things. And then he says this, then the God of peace will be with you. How many of you need God's peace? I need God's peace. In these times when things are crazy, I need God's peace. In these times when my kids and my grandkids are doing things I don't like, I need God's peace. Carol and I have had to walk through some things with a couple of our kids and grandkids lately. I don't know what I'd do if I did not have God's peace. I probably would have killed somebody by now. But that's not God. God's peace. All right, so today we're going to be talking about calming our anxious minds. How many of you would like to have a calm mind? Okay? And I'm not going to give you a pill for that. Okay? I'm going to give you the word of God for that. Okay? And so, God, today I would ask that as I bring this message to completion, that you would show each one of us in our lives where it is that we need to change a habit, a thought. And we just cry out for your mercy right now that you would show us your way in all of these things. Because you are a good God, you're a good Father. And Lord, we give you glory. And as we close, we say it, we speak it in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you remember, one of the key thoughts from our last few messages is this, that our life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. I want to thank Riley for pitch hitting for me last week. Didn't he do a good job? And so he spoke a little bit on that. And you know what? It's really good news if we only think good thoughts. But it's no really good news if we think a lot of negative thoughts. And so we need to keep our mind in check. What do we know about the mind? I read some books. I did a little research online. And I want to talk about this little thing in the middle of our brain. It's called the amygdala. Thank you. Thank you, whoever said that. This little thing in our brain that's called the amygdala. It's a little almond-shaped thing, and I like almonds. Just thought I'd throw that in. And it does some weird things, some good things, but it also can be responsible for some really bad things. Okay? And so, it's part of the brain that is wired for survival. It's that part of our brain that says, run! You know, snake! Boogeyman! Taxman! And it gives our body those doses of adrenaline, and it's saying, be on guard. It's saying, be on guard. And there's... God put it there for a reason. God put it there so that in those moments when we need to respond quickly, we have a surge of energy so that we can respond quickly. You know, those are the kind of stories you hear, you know, when a mother's child gets run over by a car and she runs over and lifts the car up and, you know, pulls the baby out. You know, how does that happen? Well, the amygdala got involved. You know, it sends that adrenaline and it gets us going. It's that thing that as you're driving down the street or down the freeway around here and somebody swerves into your lane, it's that response to swerve out of the lane. Now, some of you have another response too, but that's not the response I'm talking about, okay? But it says, be careful, be aware, be alert, you're in danger. And God gave us this portion of our brain for protection. But it's not objective. It just has like fight or flight. That's kind of all it does. And it's simply wired to protect, and it can be very easily triggered. And that's why the amygdala, thank you, needs a little help from another thing that God has given us called the prefrontal cortex. Okay? That's the part that in a lot of people develops used to think in the teens, right? Praise God, mine finally developed when I was about 28 or 29. But it's that part that is logical. It's that part of the brain that knows how to think through a scenario. And the amygdala is all panic, and the prefrontal cortex is all logic. But when these things aren't working right, and when they're not under the control of the Holy Spirit, they have a tendency to go off at the wrong time and in the wrong ways. Because God has made all of this body to work perfectly together when I'm in tune with Him. And they used to believe that by the time you were 20-ish, a lot of your brain was it figured itself out. Aren't you glad that it continues to change all the time? And they found that we can, by repetition and by putting a repetitive thought through our brain now, we can actually create new pathways. Well, I just wanted you to see that there's a couple of things at play here in our mind, okay? And that God created these things for a reason, but He wants them to be controlled by both of them, by the Holy Spirit. And so I go back to that thing about don't worry about anything, Philippians 4:6. Could be the test, could be a job interview, could be a health situation. That's why we pray for one another. Could be a financial burden. Don't be anxious about anything. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. He cares about you more than you can imagine. In every situation, Paul says, instead, pray about everything. And this is kind of where I'm going today, is that prayer has to become a bigger part of our lives than ever before. If you want God to work in your life, we need to pray more. If you want to see God work in this church needs to pray more. If you want to see God work in our community and with our neighbors, you need to be praying for them more. We need to pray about everything. And tell God what we need and thank Him for what He has done. And then it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard our hearts and our minds as we live in Christ. One of the things that I find so crazy, and I hear it among Christian circles more than I would like to say, is, well, there's nothing left to do but pray. You ever heard that? Well, all we can do now is pray. Well, that should have been the first thing we did. See, God wants us to pray. He wants connection to us. He is the God who raises the dead. He is the God, like the song said, that breaks the addictions. He is the God that sets families back together again. He is the God when we pray and ask. See, prayer is so powerful. It's not just something we add on. It should be the beginning. As followers of Jesus, we have to recognize that prayer is never our last line of defense. It's always our first line of offense. The author of Hebrews said this. He said, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God And there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Come boldly. We get to come in prayer boldly with confidence. James says this in 4:2. He says, well, you guys, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. And then he says, a lot of times when you do ask for it, he says, you ask amiss. You ask for the wrong thing. If your prayer is all about you and all about your wants, you want to know why your prayers aren't being answered? It's because you're selfish. He says it. He says it. This says it, you guys. Not only does prayer move the heart of God, but it also does something else. For decades, neurologists believed that your brain didn't change after adolescence. But our brain continues to develop and rewire itself. There is a study of the brain called neurotheology. Anybody ever heard of it? I thought it was fake, so I looked it up, and it's not. There's a study of, there are doctors out there that do the study of the brain and theology. And they have found, this is kind of cool, they have found that if a person prays, has a daily focused prayer, not like, all right, Lord, you know, I'm going into this job interview, but sits down, concentrates, and prays, just 12 minutes a day, over an 8-week period, they were able to change the brain to such an extent that it could be measured on a brain scan. It rewired the brain. It changed the pathways of the brain. And there are little things in our brain that light up when they're happy and light up differently when they're sad. Guess what? It changed the way people thought. So not only does prayer move the heart of God, but prayer changes the chemistry in your brain. And just as toxic and negative thoughts harm our brain, prayer can heal your brain. I remember, you know, there's always the little movements that kind of come and go. But I remember back in the 70s where somebody picked up on this a little bit. And I don't think they had the science yet to prove it, but I remember praying over people's brains that God would just... Now, I did it based on the Word, you know, where we wash our mind with the Word of God. You know, you learn Scripture, you quote Scripture, you memorize Scripture, and then you pray. And so I was doing that before I knew that there was a reason that we should be doing that every day. And so... prayer can heal your brain, and it transforms your brain, and it renews your mind. And so, why do we worry? Here's a definition of worry, and I kind of brought it up at the beginning. Worry, and I really like this because it's the one that hit me between the eyes. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises and the power of God. We have been given so many amazing promises, so many things from God in this book. And you know the only way you can know them? You got to read it. Yeah. You got to read it. You got to study it. This should be one of your courses at high school, but it's not. So you need to do it in the morning, okay, before you go to school or right before you go to sleep. For years, I did it right before I went to sleep. It was amazing what it did in my brain. And so, We find ourselves anxious many times because we're experiencing an amygdala hijack. And that's an actual term. I looked that up too. That's an actual term in the medical field. Right, Sam? See? Okay. And so science would say that we're experiencing amygdala hijack. Scripture would say that your mind is dominated by sinful thinking. Think about that. Let's look at this scripture. So instead of letting my sinful nature control my mind, which is what can so easily happen, what I want to do as a follower of Christ is choose to let my Spirit direct my thinking. And that's why at Philippians 4:8, he says, one final thing. And then he says, this is what I want you to put on your mind. Put on your mind thoughts that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, and about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And so I'm going to choose to let the Holy Spirit that dwells in me direct my thinking. And so can you. And I'm going to let the logical part of my brain choose that which is spiritual. And I'm going to tell it, think on the good things. And as I begin to tell my brain to think on good things, all of a sudden I'm shooting these pathways into my brain that are helping me to remember to do that every day. And so, let's go to Romans 8:5 real quick. It says this, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. Sounds right, right? If all I do is think about sinful things, then my mind is probably going to be consumed by sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. Now, am I going to say that 100% of the time I'm always thinking good thoughts? No. You know why? Because I have to take captive those thoughts. And then in Romans 8:6, it says this, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? What's it say there? What? And what is death? It's no more, right? When we think about sinful things, it leads to death. It leads to death of relationships. It leads to death in marriages. It leads to death in friendships, in all kinds of situations. And taken far enough, it leads to personal physical death. Because God said, if your mind is controlled by sinful things, that's what it will produce. So when we let our sinful nature control our mind, it will always lead to death. But the Spirit, let's look at this. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Does anybody here want life and peace? Yeah, duh. Right? Who wants life? I like life. I do. I want peace too. I like peace. In our early marriage, I would do anything to have peace, but I wouldn't really do the right things to have peace. There's a difference, you know. I'd say, okay, everything's good now, right, babe? You didn't do anything. Well, yeah, I did. I made the bed, and I took the kids for a walk, and I let you have some alone time, and I don't want to be alone. Excuse me. Letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. It's so important for us, we're closing this series today on our mind. But it goes back to the very first verse we looked at the very beginning. Very beginning. This is what it comes back to. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world. Okay? So often us Christians want to fight the world the way the world fights. God says, no, 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 no. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. You guys, we have God on our side. Just because somebody says the name of Jesus, does it demolish the strongholds? No, it is not magic. The name of Jesus is not magic. But God in me, God through me, God using me, because of what Jesus has done, because Jesus paid the price, and he said, I have demolished all of these things, and you can live life through me and see this happen in you. I want that. Because we demolish arguments and everything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. How many things set themselves up against the knowledge of God? Oh, my word. How about everything I look at on TV? You know? Except maybe the Seahawks. Just kidding. Just kidding. And the Sounders. Okay. But this is it. This is where the rubber meets the road, you guys, is this last sentence. This is it. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Christianity is not mamby-pamby. It's not easy-weezy. If you are going to be a sold-out Christian for Jesus Christ, a Christ follower, it costs. But the cost is worth it. The peace is worth it, you guys. The peace of mind is worth it. The things that Carol and I have gone through in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we could not have gone through and come out the way we've come out without the mind of Christ and his peace that reigns in us. See, we are not alone. We have a God who wants to walk with us. How amazing is that? It's just like Adam and Eve in the garden when God would walk with them every day. That's the God that we still have, is he wants to walk with us every day. Do you know what? If I miss a day in the Word, I'm going, what's wrong with me? Oh, that thing got in the way yesterday and I didn't even notice it. Because I've got to have my time with God. He wants to transform us by renewing our minds. Some of us, in our minds, our God is too small and our worries are too big. But is that true? No. See, our life needs to die. And real life begins when we hide our life in Christ. And I'm going to make some statements, and I'm just going to make a few statements here real quick. But we need to learn to train our minds every day. And in that training, we want to do all that we can do. What do I mean by that? Can we attain salvation by works? No. But can you, who's responsible for you getting into the Word? You. We do what we can do. Maybe you're looking for a new job. Oh God, I want a new job. But you don't look for a new job. What do you need to do? You need to look for a job, right? Okay? I am not talking about a gospel here that we control. I'm talking about a gospel here that is through Jesus, in Jesus. And that as we surrender to Him, there are things He calls us to do. Which one of the main ones, if we're going to renew our mind, is that we have to take every thought captive. The second thing is that we're going to give God what we can't do. That's the worry part. Okay, God, I can't do this. I don't know what to do here. This situation is completely out of my hands. Well, if it's completely out of your hands, whose hands is the only one it can be in? God's, right? So give to God what we can't do. And then the last thing is that we're going to trust God no matter what. Can you give me your drink there? Sorry. We're going to trust God no matter what. No matter what. I've said this to you many, 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 many times. But my marriage was lost. It was gone. It was on the rocks. And God got a hold of me. Didn't get a hold of my wife at the same time. But He told me He would restore it. And I had to trust Him for that. And it took a year. And were there times when I'm going, okay, but I trust You, God, because I feel like You gave me a word, and I know that You are the restorer, and I know that You love marriage, and I know that in reality, my wife probably loves me. So we're going to learn, we're going to trust God no matter what. And I want to say to you right now that changing your mindset is possible. It's totally possible. But it's also a choice. You have to choose to want to change. And I look out here today and I see people, men and women, young men and women, that I believe want to follow God's will. That's exciting to me because we can stand with one another, we can encourage one another, we can do life together. And why is it possible? It's because of who He is. It's because of His character. It's because of His nature. God, I can trust You. You have proved Yourself faithful through all that I've read. You've proved Yourself faithful through the experiences that I've gone through. And I'm going to trust You no matter what. How many of you want a heart of peace? How many of you want joy in your life? You know, I don't know too many people that would say no to either one of those things. And it comes down to this. Who are we going to trust? I can't trust myself. I proved that 35, 40 years ago. And every once in a while, I remind myself of that. See, worry is not our master because we get to trust in God. We get to put our faith in God alone. And you are not a slave to your habits. The enemy might say that to you, but you're not a slave. You're not a prisoner to your addiction. You're an overcomer by the Lamb of God and by your testimony. You know, Jordan gave us opportunity for testimony. There's a reason for testimony. You need to see that other people can, that other people overcame, so you can too. There's a reason why God puts that emphasis on our testimony. It's not just for you. See, we have been rescued from the power of darkness and brought into the kingdom of life. And God wants to renew our minds and renew our minds and renew our minds. What do we need to do? We need to cover everything in prayer. We need to cover everything in prayer, and we're not going to be anxious about anything. Oh, that sounds like a verse we read at the very beginning, doesn't it? See, isn't God's word amazing? It all comes back around. And it says that the peace of God will cover our hearts and our minds. So let's stand. I don't know about you, but I need His peace. I need His covering in my mind. And we're going to break here in just a minute and have some lunch and have a meeting. But before that, I want us to pray. And I want us to be honest before God and say, okay, God, I need some help here. I need some help in this spot in my life. And I just want you during this time as I close in prayer that you would tell God those areas that you need help. I don't need to know. God's the one that needs to know. But I know this, that if you cry out to Him and if you pray to Him, He hears you. And He will answer you. Because it's His character and He is God and we're not. Father God, we are so grateful today for who You are and how You've shown Your love all through the centuries and the millennia, and how You cared for Your children Israel and how You care for us today. And Your heart is good towards us. And You want us to respond to the goodness of God. And the goodness of God was brought about because You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And God, we acknowledge right now that we need a Savior, that we need that covering, that sacrifice, that allowed there to be a way for us to be set free. And so, God, today we just lift up the things right now to You, those things in our life that need to change, those things in our life that we need to ask forgiveness, those things in our life that we need to say, God, I need Your help here. God, begin to change my mind here. God, begin to help me understand Your goodness. God, thank You for Your forgiveness. Thank You for watching over us. Thank You for Your healing. Thank You for Your care. And as we close this morning, God, we just give all of this back to You and say, here it is, God. Renew my mind. Renew my spirit. And calm my anxious mind. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.